every true Christian is a saint, because every true Christian has been saved by Christ and set apart by Christ in order to be His servant, to be His slave, to serve His interests.
The Catholic Church has greatly obscured the meaning of being a saint. To be a saint is a great privilege given to all followers of Jesus Christ. It's important to know that it's about our identity and not our behavior. Hello there, I'm Bill Wright. Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green continues his focus on Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, as he continues the series, Set Apart. Let's join our teacher with part one of a message titled, Saints in Christ Jesus, on the Truth Pulpit.
Well, today, having seen our position as a slave in Christ
last time,
today we see our position in Christ from another perspective. Look at chapter 1, verse 1 with me. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, and here it is, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. To all the saints in Christ Jesus. That is our operative phrase, saints in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What does that mean? Who even talks this way? Who talks about spiritual life in terms of slavery and being a saint? Who talks this way? Well, maybe not too many in our world today, not too many in the church today, because they're too busy trying to relitigate the issues of social injustice in the past. But Scripture talks about it, and therefore we talk about it. Not only are we slaves of Christ, somehow we are also saints in Christ. And the question is, what does that mean? And how does it correspond and fill out our sense of our identity in Christ and what it means to be a Christian? Well, as they've done in so many other areas, the Catholic Church has greatly obscured this truth. They have a separate category for the so-called faithful that they call saints. And the saints are those who supposedly lived life with such an elevated virtue, such an elevated fidelity that it separated them from the other faithful, and they become models for the lesser ones to look at. You've got your ordinary run-of-the-mill kind of Catholic, but then you've got the saints. You've got Teresa, and you've got others, and whoa! And they hold up these human examples, which are used to club down the faithful, so-called faithful, but the idea being that there's a select subgroup that are the saints, and everybody else is, you know, a different idea. The idea is this, is that the special lives of these so-called saints gave them an elevated status as saints that set them apart from others who were not as spiritual. And so even in common parlance, you'll hear people talk this way. Oh, that woman is such a saint. You know how difficult her husband is? And she just perseveres. She's such a saint living like that. Well, to the extent that we have that understanding of the term saint, beloved, we need to utterly abandon it, reject it in its entirety, and learn the truth about what this term means so that the truth could set us free and could give us also a clearer sense of our identity in Christ. And so I want to structure our time together today around three basic principles that we'll take one by one, and hopefully the Lord will bless this to His glory and to the good of us who want to follow Him. So, point number one, the meaning of saint. What does it mean to be a saint? And who is a saint? Is where we want to go first of all. So, beloved, let's approach it this way. Stated in the negative and then stated in the positive, if that's all right with you. Saints are not a subset of Christians who are more holy in their behavior. Saints are not a subset of Christians who are more holy in behavior. The word saint, coming from the Greek term hagios, means to be set apart for dedication to the interests or expectations of God. The word hagios, saint, means to be set apart for dedication to the interests or expectations of God. To be a saint is not an attainment in behavior. It is not an attainment in behavior. I'm saying everything twice. That means this message will go for 2 hours if I keep this pattern up. Put her on the payroll, whoever said that. Thank you. It is not an attainment in behavior, beloved. We have to get that out of our minds, and I'm going to help you with that. Rather, it's a reality of position. It is a reference to someone or something that has been set apart to serve God. It's a reference to someone or something that has been set apart to serve God. Now, I'm going to just run through a couple of examples, not even having you turn to the texts for some of these things, to make this point. In Exodus chapter 40, the tabernacle and the altar were anointed with oil to consecrate them as they were being set into service for God. And once they had been anointed with oil, once they had been consecrated, they were then called holy. Now, beloved, think with me. These are the building blocks of coming to understand the greatness of our position in Christ and what it means to be a Christian. And we start with these small examples that help us see and understand the meaning of very critical terms. The tabernacle and the altar were called holy. Now, what does that mean? It does not mean that those physical materials were intrinsically changed. And beloved, it certainly doesn't mean that those physical inanimate materials suddenly started to behave in a more godly way. It couldn't mean that, because they're just inanimate objects. It's not that they were behaving in a godly way. They weren't behaving at all. They were inanimate. Rather, the word holy meant simply that they had now been set apart for a special use by God. And they would become the place where the set apart place where the people of God in that dispensation would come to meet Him for worship. The materials were set apart for a special use that was not given to any other materials. They were set apart. They weren't behaving in any given way. In a similar way, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, Jerusalem is called the holy city. The holy city. A city set apart for the purposes of God. The city where at that time the temple was. The city where Jesus conducted His ministry and based His ministry. The city where the apostles were when the Holy Spirit came upon them and then they went out. That geographic area was set apart for a manifestation of the purposes of God. But the city itself, the geographic region, it was just a landmass with buildings on it. But it was set apart and used by God in a way that distinguished it from any other city in the world. We studied that in one of our Psalms not too long ago. So you have a tabernacle and the altar and a city being called holy, having nothing to do with the Roman Catholic perversion of the term that I discussed earlier. The common thread here is that they were set apart for a purpose that God had appointed for them. The city was set apart for God and His use. Now, I think this next part's really cool. I do. We'll go to another extreme and show that holy couldn't mean something becoming better or something being better than what it was. This one I want you to turn to in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17. Here in John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father, anticipating his soon crucifixion. He's praying for his disciples. And he says in John chapter 17, verse 19, he says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." That verb sanctify is from the same root of the noun that is translated saint. To be a saint is to be set apart. To sanctify is to set something apart in a verbal sense. And Jesus says, "I sanctify myself." Now, beloved, follow me. This is really important. This is one that you need to get. Jesus Christ could not possibly be saying that he was making himself more holy, because Jesus Christ was already perfectly holy. He couldn't become more holy than he was. He was already the embodiment of divine perfection. And so, to be sanctified in this sense was simply for Christ to say that he had set himself apart for the work that he was about to do at the cross. Christ is saying, "I sanctify myself. I set myself apart for the purpose, Father, that you have given to me. You set me apart. You gave me the unique role of going to the cross to offer myself as a sacrifice for the sins of my people. I embrace that. I sanctify myself for that. I'm set apart for that purpose. And that is why I am moving forward in the redemptive plan. It's because I'm set apart for that purpose." And so, what does it mean to be a saint? It means, beloved, that as saints, you, as a Christian, have been set apart. You have been set apart to serve the interests of God. You have been set apart to serve the expectations of God. And I know I talk like this quite a bit in what I'm about to say, but to understand that you are a saint in this term, set apart for the interest, the service, the expectations of God, this is to understand the reason that you exist. This is why you were saved, was that you would be set apart for God in Christ. It's one aspect of what it means when Scripture says, we are not of the world, even if we are in it. We're not of the world because we don't belong to the world. You're not in the world because you don't exist to serve the interests of the world. You are set apart for something else. You have been removed from that realm. You have been removed from under the bondage of Satan. You've been removed from the bondage of sin so that you would be free and exist to serve the God who saved you like that. And so, beloved, again, the tying this together with the series that we're doing on moralistic therapeutic deism, I ask you again to get that series if you haven't heard it and to be listening to it, because it is vitally critical to everything. I realize I can't make you listen, but I can sure beg you and implore you to listen. And these things fit together like a hand in a glove in what they are saying. You see, the mindset that we are so accustomed to being taught is to think about God as the servant to our needs. When we need something, we go to God and we ask Him to give it to us. There's a place for that in the Christian life. Jesus said, and told us and commanded us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Express your dependence to God. Let your needs be known to Him." That's true. That's fine. That's part of Christian living. That's part of our Christian privilege, that we would be able to go to God in our need and express that to Him. But beloved, and I'm really resisting the temptation to be far more physically animated than what I'm actually doing here. Beloved, what we must understand is that is hardly the totality of why you have been saved. That is not why God exists, as though He were completely subordinate to serve what you wanted Him to do, and after He's done that, He has no further claim on you, and there's no further purpose in seeking Him. Because you're content and you've got what you want and you can go forward and can keep just doing what you want to do. That's not it. That's not what it means to be a Christian, beloved. That's not what it means to be a Christian. And to the extent that someone has had the thought that that's all that it meant, you know, I would tell a person like that, I really think you ought to go back to the Word of God and rethink everything that you've ever thought about what it meant to be saved. If God is simply a utilitarian device to help you advance in life and happiness in your own personal pursuits. Goodness, how did we ever start thinking that way? Who is the sovereign here? Who's God here? And who's serving whom? Why does God save us? And so, beloved, for you to be a saint, and let me just state this really plainly, lest it be missed in all the other things that I'm saying, every true Christian is a saint. Every true Christian is a saint. Because every true Christian has been saved by Christ and set apart by Christ in order to be His servant, to be His slave, to serve His interests. And this is a position, this is a relationship of love, of grace, and mercy. But it's a position of love, grace, and mercy that is done in a context of subordination to the person who saved us. You're subordinated to a person. You're a slave of Christ in that sense. And now, to be a saint is to recognize the purpose for which you have been saved. You have been set apart to serve the interests of the One who saved you. And so, beloved, quite apart from any behavioral considerations, the essence of a true Christian is that he or she has been set apart to serve the interests and expectations of Jesus Christ. This is why you exist. It's not to maximize your profit here on earth. You don't exist simply to find exactly the relationship that you want, or necessarily even to find satisfaction and inner fulfillment in the things that you do. You exist to serve the purpose of Christ. Those other things are secondary. Sometimes we get them as a byproduct, but they're not the primary goal. We have been separated from the world and placed into union with Jesus Christ. And therefore, you exist to serve Him. He served you at the cross, doing that which you could never have done on your own. Now, having been saved by that cross work, now you are set apart to return your life, devotion, and loyalty to the One who did such a gracious act on your behalf. And I ask you, therefore, beloved, have you ever thought of yourself as a Christian from that perspective? Because this is what it means. And what this means then, beloved, is that there is a very real sense in which all of your desires for life are crucified when you come to Christ. Your goals, your aspirations, your dreams came to the cross and they died. They ceased to exist, replaced by something else, replaced by the reality that you now exist to serve Christ in the life that He has given to you. And everything is determined by that going forward. James Montgomery Boyce asks the question this way. He says, are you a Christian? If so, you are a saint, and so am I, regardless of our station in life. And we are so, not because of what we have done, but because we have been separated unto God in Jesus Christ. End quote. Now, beloved, this can be described as what the theologians might call positional sanctification or definite sanctification. By position, you have been set apart. What makes this confusing sometimes is that the same word sanctification is used to describe our progress in spiritual growth, progressive sanctification, and that is imperfect, and we struggle and we go up and down in that sometimes. The fact that that's the way the term is normally used doesn't mean and shouldn't exclude us from understanding this positional understanding, this reality of what it means to be in Christ, that you are set apart for the interests of Christ Jesus, regardless of what your present course of behavior might be if you're a Christian. And so the reality becomes you've got a guy struggling in sin. He's not acting very sanctified in that use of the term. A woman, of course, goes the same way. And the way that you understand this and apply it is you go and you say, friend, you are a saint. You have been sanctified by God to serve His purposes. Therefore, based on the reality of your position, you need to repent. You need to change. You can't keep living this same selfish, sinful way. You can't live this sinful way because you have been set apart for the purposes of God. And the reality of the position starts to inform the reality of the way that you practice the Christian life. This is how we understand and make these connections in our mind. But our focus today is not on behavioral matters, but the reality of what God did when He saved you. Beloved, just think about it. Just think about it in spatial terms, if this helps. Those of you who are visual thinkers, kind of like I am, it helps to think this way. Picture a realm which is the world and you in it before you were a Christian, and the realm of Christ Jesus. Christ comes and saves you. He plucks you up out of that world, out of the world, out of that realm, and moves you over and puts you in His realm, where you now exist to serve Him who saved you in the realm over which He rules, and to serve and advance His interests, and to subordinate every thought, every desire of yours to that greater purpose. We'll talk about more about how that plays out at the end of the message if I don't forget to do it. We want to be thinking about this in terms of separation. And if you've never really thought about it in these terms, then what a blessing of grace should be exploding on your mind and cheering and encouraging your heart to realize that God personally plucked you out, that Christ died for you by name in order to make you His own.
It's fascinating to learn that in the book of Philippians, we can find truth that defines our identity as a Christian. Well, you've been listening to Pastor Don Green with part one of a message titled Saints in Christ Jesus. As we continue our series, Set Apart, Don will have part two for you next time, so do join us then on the Truth Pulpit. But Don, why is it important that we understand our status as saints?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. And my friend, to be a saint is to be set apart. That's the biblical language. It's not a special higher class of Christian. Every Christian is a saint, meaning that they have been set apart by God for His kingdom and for His purposes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to be set apart, then, has an impact on the way that you view the reason for your very existence. Why am I here on this earth? When you understand as a Christian, you've been set apart for God in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say to yourself, oh, I understand. My purpose is to serve God in obedience, in worship, and in faith, and to proclaim Him to others who do not know Christ. And so to be set apart is to be set apart by God unto Christ for His purposes. And as Scripture says, having been set apart like that, therefore, glorify God in your body.
Thanks, Don. We look forward to learning more about our status as saints in Christ on our next program. And friend, be sure to visit thetruthpulpit.com where you can learn more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. And now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time when our teacher presents more from The Truth Pulpit.